Word of God, the Bible, is the story of God. And every week when we open it here, we're not simply opening a book to be read. We're opening a life to be lived. It speaks of God's heart toward His creation, and it tells of creation's response back to Him. Its words are alive because its author is alive. Its message is active and sharp because its words are timeless and piercing. We're turning pages that not only help us discover ancient people, but pages where we find ourselves discovered at every turn. There is nothing routine or ordinary about this moment, because the Word of God is anything but ordinary or routine. So as these next few moments unfold, we pray that you respond in the exact way that God is inviting you to respond, whatever that looks like. We pray that the two-dimensional pages become fully dimensional as we uncover its truth together. And we pray this in the name of the God who is redeeming it all for His glory, and who's given us this book that is so much more than a book.
I'm going to invite you to take that book right now, that life-changing book called the Bible, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're new to Crossroads, what we do is we realize everyone is at a different point in their journey. So we know that you probably don't know where all the books of the Bible are. You may not even have a Bible. So we have Bibles under the chairs for you that you can use each Sunday. And we even put the church Bible page number at the top of the handout. So like this morning, it says 2 Timothy 3 is page 1239. So if you go to page 1239 in the church Bible, that'll take you to where we'll be reading this morning and studying God's Word. We're going to get some air going. I know it's a little warm in here, so it's getting stuffy. It's just so hard when it's cold like this to regulate it. I apologize if you're a little warm. We're going to get some cool air going here and circulating. So here at Crossroads, you're going to hear the phrase learning the Bible quite a bit. In fact, it's on our logo a lot. You'll see Crossroads, and then underneath that it'll say learning the Bible, living the Bible. And that's because that's part of our mission here at Crossroads. So what do you mean, your mission? The mission of a church is why that church exists. You know, why is there a church at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard? Why are we here? Why do we exist? What's this all about? And our mission is very simple. It's like 12 or 13 words, and it's easy to remember. It's found on the banners, and here's our mission. Our mission is loving Jesus and loving others. And you say, why? Jesus said the two greatest commands in the whole Bible are those right there, and that the entire Bible is built on those two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love others, and love others as you love yourself. And so we want to love Jesus and love others. But how are we going to do that? That's a tall order. That's high ground, to love the Lord with all your heart and then to start, go out and love people who love your enemies and love people who do you wrong and love you know, people who are unlovable. That's a tall order. How am I going to do that? Well, that's where the second part of our mission comes in, and that is by learning the Bible and living the Bible. And so our mission is loving Jesus and loving others. How am I going to do that? Well, the key to that, the catalyst that's going to cause me to do that is over here. I'm going to do it by learning the Bible and then seeking to obey it, seeking to live it out, and to do what it says. So in your handout, it says that the Bible is the catalyst, all right, that will cause us to love Jesus and to love others. Now, what's a catalyst? A catalyst is something that causes a change. I looked in the dictionary, something that causes a change. And I looked in the dictionary, and it gave me some examples of the word catalyst in a sentence. So I'll just kind of read these. One of them was, the bombing attack was the catalyst for war. It led to change, right? The company's diminishing profits was the catalyst for a change in management structure. Here's another one. A sparking wire was the catalyst in the natural gas explosion. And when I read that one, boom, I went to the synonyms for catalyst, and you know what I saw? Synonyms for catalyst are stimulus, spark, and spark plug. And when I saw spark plug, boom, my mind went back to my coaching days when I coached Little League Baseball for years when my kids were growing up. And I would say sometimes about a player, usually like your leadoff hitter, I would say, man, that kid, he's the spark plug of our team. He was the one that got things going. He'd get a walk or a hit, steal a base, make a big play in the field. He's our spark plug. What was I saying? He's our catalyst. He's the one that gets us going. And the Bible, get the picture now, the Bible is the spark plug, okay, or catalyst, that's going to allow you to be able to love the Lord with all your heart, love people, and the Bible is the catalyst for true life change. That's why God gave His Word. God gave us this book, all right, so that we would have truth to base our lives on. And then God's plan is that truth would radically change our lives. By the way, God's all about change. Now, how many of you, you're in church, be honest, you don't like change? How many of you don't like change? I like change, so I'm not going to raise my hand. But some of you, your personality is such, you don't like change. That's okay, all right? But you need to understand that when it comes to God and it comes to our Christian life, God loves change, okay? We all have areas of our life that we struggle with. Can anybody agree with me on that? Yeah. Buddy, I mean, we can shower up and clean up and put a Bible under our arm and come to church and have that Christian glaze on. I got the Christian glaze, right? And we can look like we got it all together. Truth of the matter is, everyone in here, I'm looking at a bunch of people with struggles. And you're looking at a preacher with struggles. All right? We've all got issues. We've all got baggage. We've all got struggles. We've all got areas that we know we need to change. I got areas I know I need to change. You say, you got areas you need to change? You're the preacher. Oh, yeah, talk to my wife. She'll tell you. I got areas I need to change. I mean, I'm laughing, but I mean, it's kind of a serious thing. I got to change. You know, 2018, man, I need to change some things. I'm telling you, flat out. And you know what? We make New Year's resolutions. Pastor Clint said last Sunday, 80% of New Year's resolutions go by the wayside by Valentine's Day. And hey, some of you are like, man, we're 7 days in and I've already decimated mine, right? I mean, I've just demoed my New Year's resolutions already, right? But here's what I want you to see. Whenever you're doing New Year's resolutions, that's okay. I'm not against those at all. I think they're good and healthy. But here's the thing. I really believe, though, that the Bible needs to be a part of your plan for your New Year's resolutions, because the Bible's the catalyst for change. So if the Bible isn't the intricate part of your plan, then you're going to struggle to change, all right? Because you're going to spin your wheels. Because the Bible is the catalyst for life change. Now, why is this? Well, I'm going to spend the next few minutes trying to convince you, basically, that the Bible is the catalyst for life change. And that this has to be a go-to thing for you. The Bible's got to be a go-to thing. It cannot be a 911 call, right? I mean, it can't just be that. It needs to be a go-to thing for you on a regular basis. I'm not saying every day you're going to read it or you need to read 10 chapters a day. I'm not going there. We're not even going to say you need to read the whole Bible through in a year. None of that. I'm just saying that the Bible, you need to be learning the Bible, because the Bible is the catalyst for life change. Why is this? Number one, I'm going to give you three quick points. Number one, the Bible instructs us, all right? It's the Bible that instructs us. Go to 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 16. All right, let's go to our text. We're going to really focus on two verses today, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Let's just read them real quick. You ready? All right. It says, all Scripture. The Scripture means the Bible. All of the Bible is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. All right? Now, let's go back. All of the Bible is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. For doctrine, that's what we believe. That's your belief system. We all have a belief system. Okay? For reproof, That shows you the things you're doing wrong. For correction, shows you how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hey, look at that again. What's the last two words of verse 17? What's the last two words of verse 17? Come on, tell me. Good works. Hey, we've all got areas we need to change. Why? Because we're doing bad, right? And we're like, I need to do good. Well, the Bible is what's going to help you to do good works. I hope you see that. It's the Bible that instructs us. God breathed out. By the way, inspiration literally means God breathed out. God breathed out living words, and he gave them to men and women. They wrote them down, and they're actually now God's given them to us in print. And he said, I did that for your profit. He's given me instruction in righteousness, how to live right. In your handout, it says, the Bible reveals to me God's plan. It really does. The Bible reveals to me God's plan. In other words, if I want to know the future, what the future holds for this earth, it's in the Bible. You know, you're like, I see these movies where they talk about the earth blowing up and, you know, and all this, and is that going to happen? And what's going to happen to the earth? And are we all going to just kind of kill ourselves off? And the Bible is going to give you the plan that God has for this earth. The Bible will reveal to you God's plan for the heavens and for eternity. Let's get more personal. The Bible will reveal to you God's plan for how your sins can be forgiven and how you can be restored to a right relationship with God. The Bible's going to reveal to you God's plan for your marriage, how to make your marriage work. Sometimes it's not easy to make a marriage work, you know? It's easy to say I do, right? But sometimes it's tough to make a marriage work. The Bible will give you God's plan on how to make your marriage work. The Bible's going to give you his plan for how to raise up children, for how to have healthy friendships, for how to relate at work. The Bible has all that in there, believe it or not. The Bible's going to lay out God's plan for you. Now, here's the thing. God has a plan, but do y'all think the devil has a plan too? You see, Satan put in place, when he fell into sin and he induced man to fall into sin, Satan put in place on planet Earth as the prince of this world, Jesus called him, he put in place a plan and policy of evil on the earth. And that world system out there that he put into place, they got a plan for me, all right? And here's the thing, it runs diametrically opposite of God's plan. Satan's plan, the world's plan, that's the plan that I'm going to naturally learn and take unless I'm instructed in God's plan. Can you bring up that picture at the beginning of the guy? Look at this picture. Okay, it's on the top of your handout. And I don't know if you noticed, but there's two paths there. And he's got the Bible there because it's the only hope that guy has of choosing the right road there is the Bible. He's not going to choose the right way any other way. And that's what we want to learn today. In fact, look in your handout at Matthew chapter number 7. Okay, it's in your handout, Matthew 7. It says, enter you in, Jesus said, at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto what, church? Life. And few there be that find it. So Jesus just painted a word picture for you. He said, there's this broad road that most of the world is on. It's a 6-lane highway, and it's jam-packed like 5 o'clock going home traffic in Orlando, Florida on I-4. Isn't that fun? I'm glad I live in Daytona. But yeah, he says there's a broad road that leads to destruction. Most people are on it. It's a 6-lane highway jam-packed. Then he said God has a road, and it's a narrow road, and it leads to life. But it's a tiny road. It's a one-way road. It's a one-lane road, and there aren't many cars on that road. There aren't many people on that road. That's the picture he presents there. And from the time that we were born, the world system out there has been educating us in its way of doing things. And it's been leading us down the broad road. Come on, man, be a part of the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Broad is the road. Many are on that road. Come on, man, everybody's doing it. I don't know about you, but as a parent, when my kids said everybody was doing it, my antennas went up. Well, everybody's doing it? Okay, broad is the road, right, that leads to destruction. Many are on that road. Yeah, everyone's doing it. Look out, right? Well, here's the deal. Jesus said that you got this broad road, and he said most people are on that road, and it leads to destruction. Without God intervening and without God giving us, you know, the revelation of his word, his thoughts, his mind, his way of doing things, we'd all go down that broad road of destruction. Take, for example, before the flood. Did you know that before Noah's flood, in Noah's day, there was no written word? There wasn't any Bible. It hadn't been written yet. It didn't come along until Moses. So you had no written word. What was the result of a world with no written word from God? Let's bring it up on the screen. Look at this verse. Genesis 6 says, the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. There's another verse in that passage that says, every thought of man was evil continually. That's the result of a world without any Bible, without God's word. And basically what that's saying is, most of the people were all on that broad road, right? That packed road. And you have this narrow road, and you had one man and his family that were on that one. Great example of what Jesus is saying here. But praise the Lord, aren't you glad God didn't leave us in the dark? He gave us his word. Amen, church? He gave us his word, and that changed everything. Satan was not happy that God did that. But here's what is very important to remember, and this is a key statement. God did give us his word, but we can live our lives like he didn't. Key statement. Did God give us his word? Do we have his word today, yes or no? Don't answer this one out loud. How many weeks did you live in 2017 like he didn't give it, though? In other words, you never looked into it. You never picked it up. You never saw what it had to say. You weren't learning anything out of it. He gave his word, but we can live our lives like he didn't. I'll give you an illustration. It's kind of humorous. In 1891, they installed electricity in the White House. Now, some of you young people, you can't even wrap your mind around that because you can't even imagine a world without cell phones. All right? That to you is like ancient, like olden times, right? But believe it or not, there was a time in America where there was no electricity. In fact, 100 years went by in the White House with no electricity in the White House. And in 1891, they installed electricity. Benjamin Harrison was the president. But Benjamin Harrison, good old Benji, he and his wife would not touch the light switches because they were afraid they would get electrocuted. They were very, very leery of that newfangled stuff, right? And so they, think about this. Now, I think you guys are going to know where I'm heading with this. They had light right at their fingertips, but they were content to live like they didn't. We've got light right at our fingertips, but many times we're content to live in darkness, to live like we don't have light. When we never look into the Bible and we never learn it, we're continuing to... Listen, if I don't look into the Bible, which is light, if I don't look into the Bible and I'm not learning the Bible, should I be surprised if I continue to go down the same destructive roads? No, I shouldn't be surprised. If I'm not getting light, this is my light. Remember we sung, the Word of God is a light, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Well, if I'm living my life like God never gave his word, and I'm not reading it, I'm not studying it, I don't have a plan at all to learn it, then it shouldn't surprise me if I continue to go down the same destructive roads, that broad road. There's a key verse in your handout. Look at it with me, Romans 12, verse 2. All right, look at that. It says, and be not conformed to this world. That's the broad road. He's saying, you need to get off the broad road. And he says, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Hey, you know what? Think about that. So my mind is going to very naturally be filled with Satan's system, his way of doing things. Basically, from the time we were born, we've been being educated in that broad road, that path that the world system says we need to go, what we need to do, what we need to be like, how we're going to be cool, how we're going to be accepted. And we're going down this broad road, right? And he says, what you need is you need your mind renewed. You got to get some new information in there. You got to get God's plans and God's thoughts and God's ideas and God's way of doing things up in that mind of yours. And that's what he says. What's the result when I renew my mind with the right things? Look what that verse says. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. Wow. Now do we get it? The Bible is profitable. Why? It gives me doctrine. It gives me a belief system that's solid. It gives me reproof. It shows me what when I'm not right. The Bible gives me correction, tells me how I can get right and correct those areas. And then the Bible instructs me in how to change. It shows me how I can change, how I can stay right. And in your handout, I want you to get that statement. It says the Bible is the catalyst for life change because it instructs us in God's ways. Are y'all with me? If you're with me, say with you. Woo! All right. Let's go to number two. Turn your handout over. Number two, not only does the Bible instruct us, the Bible grows us. We're going to go a little deeper now. We're going to go from the mind to the heart, okay? Go back to chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. I just want to focus on the first part of that verse. It says that the man of God, by the way, it just says man of God because he's writing to a man. He's writing to Timothy. You could change that to woman, okay? But that the man or that the woman of God, notice he gave the Bible so that the man or woman of God may be what? He gave you the Bible to be perfect. Now, this perfect there means sinless. You're not going to be sinless. If you look up that word perfect, you know, you may be working on something like doing an art painting, you know. And you say, and I say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm trying to perfect this. You know, what are you trying to? You're trying to get it better, right? You're trying to improve it. That's the idea of the word perfect there. It means you're growing. It means that you're growing, you're changing, and you're maturing. Now, question, what does a baby or a child need in order to grow? Come on, what's the number one thing a baby has to have? Milk. A child has to have food, right? I'm talking about growing physically. You got to have food. Well, let me ask you something. You've got a body. I could see that. But are you just a body or do you have a spirit also inside of you? A spirit. God gave you a spirit so you could relate to God. He's a spirit. God's a spirit. For you to relate to God, you got to have a spirit. Well, not only do I need to nourish my body, I need to nourish my spirit. I got to grow my spirit. I got it. I got to mature it. How do I do that? What do y'all think the spiritual food is that's going to feed my spirit? The Bible. Look in your handout, 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes, as a newborn baby in Christ, okay, you're a new Christian, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow. Guys, I don't know how to say this any other way. That's your steak and taters right there. All right, those of you who have made New Year's resolutions and you're going to be healthy, okay, it's your fruit and yogurt. That's your fruit and yogurt, all right. That's your breadstick from Olive Garden. That's your biscuit from Cracker Barrel, all right. Some of you are like, get me out of here so I can eat. Well, just stay with me a few more minutes. But yeah, this is it. In fact, do you know the Bible is likened to all that? Well, not yogurt, but it's likened to fruit, meat, milk, bread, all that the Bible is likened to. Yeah. The Bible is what is going to feed your inner man, your spirit. In your handout, it says that God's plan is that the Bible goes from your head and it gets into your heart. That's God's plan. He wants it to go from your head to your heart. Your heart speaks of the real you. Your heart, when the Bible talks about your heart, it's the person that you really are, not what we fake, not what other people see at church. Your heart is the real you. Maybe nobody sees your heart except God, but it's the real you. It's important to get the Bible into our mind, into our thinking processes. Remember, renew our mind. But true growth, hear me now, true growth as a person is only going to occur as I allow the Bible to get deep into me. And there's a verse in your handout there that's a key. Look at Colossians 3:16 in your handout. It says, let the word of Christ dwell where? In you, richly in all wisdom. It's not enough to just get into the Bible. I got to let the Bible get into me. I got to let it soak my heart. I'll give you an illustration of that, okay, about the Bible getting into your heart. That's when real growth happens, all right? But when I went to college, I went to college to train for the ministry. And I knew I wanted to go into ministry work. So I went to a college that trained people for ministry. And man, I cannot believe, wow, 10 years ago, man. All right, maybe a little more than 10, all right. But when I went to college, there were things that I learned in college that I memorized. And I recited it back on a test. I couldn't tell you about it today. I probably couldn't have told you about it 2 hours after the test. It never got into my heart. The information never got into my heart. But did you know, and I mean this, there are things that I learned in college that I can still explain to you today. Why? It became part of my what? My heart. By the way, that's why the Bible says that salvation from our sins is a heart issue. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. True salvation comes from the heart. If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You say, well, I think so, I hope so. God wants you to know so. But a person, you can be like I was. I could tell you all the facts about salvation, but I was not saved. Because it's a heart issue. I had it up here, but I didn't have it here. And you can say, yes, I know that I'm a sinner. I know Christ died for my sin and made a full payment for my sin. I know that he rose again the third day. I know that if I call on him, the Bible says that he'll save me. And you can know all those facts and still not be saved. When it gets to the heart, that's when life transformation happens. And the same is true after we come to know the Lord. It has to get in your heart. God's plan is for us to grow. He doesn't want us to remain babies. And my question for you is this. Will 2018 be a year of growth for you as a person, as a believer, as a Christ follower? Is this going to be a year of growth for you? That's the question. Now, in order for that to happen, the Bible is the catalyst for life change. We've already learned that. It instructs us. And we also learned that the Bible grows us. But what are the next steps you're going to take? You know, hey, maybe it's this. Remember last week they mentioned this. Maybe you weren't here. It was a holiday. Bible reading plan. We got these available at the doors, I believe. And we've got them out in the lobby there. It's a Bible reading plan. And this is really doable. It's not one of those read the Bible through in a year. I found most people just don't stick with that because it's like four chapters a day. A lot of it's really heavy stuff. You don't. It's like really stuff that you're like, well, I don't even get this. And a lot of people then they miss a day and then they miss another day. So now they're behind and they're just like, I forget it, you know. And so a lot of times I found people don't follow through with the read the through. You know, the Bible in a year thing, it falls by Valentine's Day, you know, it's just like, eh. But this is doable. This has a box, and it's got about, man, probably 2 to 10 verses a day is all, 2 to 10 verses, and then Sunday there's nothing because you're in church learning, and on Saturday it's just reread and reflect, and if you miss a day, that's okay, you can just go back, it's just got the boxes to check, and when you hit it, but when you finish this plan, you will have read through 5 entire books of the Bible, 5 really important books that are written directly to the church today. You say, well, I wanted to read all 66 books of the Bible. Let's start with 5. right? How many did you read last year all the way through? So let's just get five under our belt, all right? Let's do something doable, all right? And let's say, you know what? I'm going to get five under my belt. Then I can say I've read through five entire books of the Bible. And then when you finish that, because you may finish that. If you followed this, I think, how many months? About 4 months, you'll be done. But it may take you 6 months, may take you 8 months. You may spend the year on that. But when you get done, come to me or Pastor Rich or Pastor Rob, Pastor Clint. We'll give you another one to, you know, to do some more. But let's get five books under our belt. See, what I'm saying is you need a plan. And the Bible has to be a go-to book for you. Now, look, I'm just telling you flat out, you're going to miss days. You're going to have emergencies come up. You're going to get busy. You're going to have you're going to get sick. There's going to be days you're going to miss. That's okay. All right? That's all right. You just get back to it the next day. You say, okay, that's all right. I'm going to get back here, and we'll get back into this the next day, you know? But you're going to miss days. Life happens, and that's going to happen, you know? But you get right back into it. All I'm saying is that the Bible has to become a book that is a go-to thing for you on a somewhat regular basis if you're going to grow and change. If life transformation is going to happen, the Bible's the catalyst. So you're not going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do it on your own. The Bible is what's going to help you to love Jesus, love others, and to truly have meaningful change in your life. All right? So take some next steps. If you don't like this plan, you could probably go online and find a dozen more. But get a plan. Another idea, come to the Sunday night Bible studies that we're doing. Going to be 14 weeks of great learning the Bible. It's awesome. Maybe Wednesday nights, you make a decision, you know, I need to get in a Wednesday night small group. Maybe you were at one time. You got out of it. Man, get back in there. Learn the Bible. And again, you may not be there every Wednesday night, but, you know, get started somewhere. Get a plan. One final point, and I'm done. I'm only going to spend a minute on this because next week we're going to spend more time on it. But number three, the Bible equips us. It not only instructs us and grows us, it's the Bible that equips us. We're going to go back to our text. Look at verse 17. Stay with me just a couple minutes, 5 minutes, okay? Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, mature, growing, throughly furnished unto all good works. That phrase there, throughly furnished, means to fully equip. Let me give you an illustration. When someone becomes a policeman, what happens? After they become a policeman, they furnish him or her, and they equip them for service. Yeah, they give them a uniform, they give them a badge, they give them a gun, they give them a car or a motorcycle. You can't expect them to do the job if you don't equip them with the right things. They don't swear them in as a policeman and say, okay, go be a policeman. Go ahead, go on. No, they got to equip them. And in the same way, God doesn't say, okay, you're saved, you're my child now, go live like a Christ follower. No, God equips us through His Word. And in your handout, it says that as we learn and we digest the Bible internally, as we begin to learn the Bible, it impacts our outward actions and attitudes. It changes the believer's life. So, let's wrap this up. And I want you to think with me for a minute, okay? For the Bible to be a part of your everyday life, what's that going to look like? What is it going to look like for you to learn the Bible better in 2018? It may mean, you know what? I'm going to redeem the time, and I've got a 30-minute drive to work, and I'm going to get on our church's website. We got thousands of Bible messages and studies, and I'm gonna try to listen to a message at least once or twice a week. Or it may mean I'm going to get in a Sunday night class, or it may mean I'm going to get in a Wednesday night life group, or it may mean, and this, of course, I think is very important, I'm going to get a Bible reading plan of some sort, you know? And again, it's 2 to 10 verses a day, 5 minutes, but I'm going to get into the Bible. That way I'm thinking on it. At least it's getting in me, and I'm thinking on it, but you got to get a plan. But let me say this. We are not learning the Bible to simply gain knowledge All right? We're not learning the Bible simply so that we can go out and win arguments with people and show people how smart we are. All right? We're learning the Bible so that it will change our lives. All right? It goes back to this. I'm learning the Bible and I'm endeavoring to live it so that I will love Jesus and love people more. By the way, if we're not loving people more than we were, then we're not growing. All right? So we're learning the Bible so that it will change our lives, so that we'll leave the building here and we'll go out into the world and we'll do good works. As that verse said, we'll do good works and we'll shine as lights. So I want to challenge you guys. 2018's here, right? We're here. Man, we're in it. First Sunday, here. I want to challenge you to get into God's Word and allow it to get into you. By the way, did y'all notice something today? I'm sure you probably didn't, but that outline that we had right from those two verses, the Bible instructs us. That's the head. That's renewing your mind. The Bible grows us. That's our heart. And the Bible equips us. That's our hands. So that we can go out and live differently and do good works. Head, heart, hands. The Bible does all that for us. The Bible is the catalyst for life change. Look in your handout and notice that last statement. It says that God's Word is powerful and it will. Can anybody take a guess at what that blank is? Yes, good. It will change your life.